I'm Tom, and I believe the work you do really, really matters. And you know, my heart's desire is to encourage you with weekly wisdom for your workplace. And you know what? This wisdom is embedded in God's grand work story, and that's found in the Bible. It's a story that helps us reimagine our Monday workplace with renewed purpose, meaning, and hopefulness. So step into my office for some weekly workplace wisdom. Easter has always been a favorite time of my life. I love the bursting of the new days, the bright spring days, the early flowers that say goodbye to that long, drab winter. And one of my highlights is attending an Easter worship service. And together, in an Easter worship service, we remember the good news of Jesus' bodily resurrection and the hope that brings to us, into our broken lives and world, the goodness of the gospel. On Easter Sunday, we declare the good news, right? Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Yet, isn't it true that the bright joy of Easter and Easter Sunday can soon be eclipsed by anxiety, by fear, or discouragement that often greets us on Easter Monday? And I'm wondering, have you paused to consider what Easter Sunday might mean for your Monday world of work? Now, many of my wonderful UK friends get a holiday on Easter Monday, so hats off to you. But no matter where you live, work still awaits you the week following Easter. So how does your Easter Sunday speak into your work week after Easter Sunday? After an Easter worship service, I was chatting with Amy. Amy is a good friend of mine, and she works in a restaurant in the hospitality industry. She enthusiastically expressed how inspiring the Easter worship service was for her. The beautiful songs, the liturgy, and her heart-transforming homily. Then she looked at me and she said this, "I wish Easter Sunday wasn't followed by Easter Monday." After Easter, when I go to work, the good news of Easter Sunday seems like a distant, distant memory. And she says, "I rush out the door, getting my son and daughter off to school, only to face a difficult boss. He's often rude and demanding, and my customers are difficult, and there are long, long hours on my feet. You know, my Monday work pays the bills, of course, but it seems anything but meaningful or inspiring. It's really hard for me to see and experience the connection between my Sunday faith and the world of my work." Now, maybe your work story feels just a lot like Amy's. Your Easter Sunday faith and your Monday world may seem worlds and worlds apart. But what I'd like you to grasp is that the good news of Easter Sunday is really good news for Easter Monday. The empty tomb of Resurrection Sunday is embedded in God's larger work story and declares that your everyday work is anything but empty, that it really, really matters. Now, whether you presently look forward to your Monday world of work, or you dread it, or somewhere in between, can I encourage you that the really good news of Easter Sunday is really good news for Easter Monday? And while Easter speaks to your heart and my heart's longing for life beyond the grave, do not miss that Easter also speaks to your heart's longing for meaningful work right now, wherever God has called you to. In the first century, a religiously devout Jewish man named Saul found himself on a dusty road heading toward Damascus. Can you imagine? Suddenly he encountered the bodily resurrection of Jesus. As you can imagine, it was unforgettable and transforming encounter. Saul fell to the ground, blinded in his eyes, yet his eyes were opened in ways he had never seen before. Encountering the resurrected Jesus was a watershed moment for Saul. It really changed everything in Saul's life, including how he viewed his own work. Saul of Tarsus, who is better known in history, as you might know, as the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter in the first century to Corinth, Greece, a group of believers there. And in his letter, we often refer to as 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, can you imagine, an entire chapter on this? Chapter 15 on the importance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus in the Christian faith. And Paul makes this compelling case that if the bodily resurrection did not occur, then the Christian faith is, well, a mere wish dream. It implodes into incoherence and utter foolishness. However, if Jesus did bodily raise from the dead, which Paul emphatically declares Jesus really did, you know, that changes everything. And the evidence for Paul was personal and compelling. Jesus' bodily resurrection validates the claims of Jesus as the Son of God, Lord and Savior. And as Savior, Jesus makes possible in the atoning death on the cross and his bodily resurrection from the grave, a new life for you, and for me and for all eternity. This foundational truth claim of Christianity is at the very heart of the good news followers of Jesus joyfully and hopefully proclaim on Easter Sunday. But what may be surprising to you is that Paul ends his entire chapter in a very surprising way, and that is on the bedrock claim of Jesus' resurrection, not talking about life after death, as important as that is for us. Instead, what does he focus on? He focuses on followers of Jesus and the importance of their Monday work, your Monday work. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Paul writes these words, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Now, Paul begins his concluding thoughts with the word therefore, and simply therefore is the big so what. Big so what of the resurrection of Jesus, the implications of the resurrection. What does Paul have in mind here? Well, in this text, the bedrock truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus radically changes how we view our work. Yes, your work. So here in verse 58, Paul utilizes two different words for work that actually convey all kinds of human work. And these two different words are related and translated from the original Greek language as work or labor. Perhaps even a better translation I think you can relate to is the word toil. We get that, don't we? The exertion and difficulties and difficult relationships and frustrations in our work and broken work and workplaces. I know you can relate to that. I sure can. Paul knew what it was like. We often forget this, don't we? To work long, long hours making tents. Imagine sweat on his brow, but that's how he paid the bills. So here in chapter 15, Paul uses the same word for work. Isn't it interesting? He used earlier in verse 10 of his own hard work making tents. Paul is connecting the toil of all facets of daily work callings with the glorious resurrection of Jesus. Is that awesome? Have you thought about that? In verse 58, we find the phrase, the Lord's work. Now, let me ask you, when you hear the phrase, the Lord's work, what comes into your mind? Maybe what comes into your mind is the work of people like me, pastors or missionaries or caring for the impoverished or the homeless. Now, this is very important work for sure, but Paul is referring here in the word to more kinds of work that we are called in our daily lives. It's important to grasp that Paul's work experience encompassed and it validated a variety of work callings. We may think of it this way. Head work, that is work of the mind. Paul wrote letters. Heart work, that he is engaged in shepherding people emotionally and caring for them. And then hand work, that is in making tents. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul grasps the central importance of all facets of human work in the biblical story, God's work story. God's original creation design was that humans were created by a working God with work in mind. You were created in God's very image, and you reflect God in and through the work you do. Even though now your work, my work, all workplaces that we inhabit have been badly broken by sin entering the world. But God is redeeming in Christ the worker, the work we do, and the workplaces we inhabit. And isn't it great? One day future, I don't know what you think of what heaven is like, just sitting on a cloud, but heaven is about work. We will work in a future place in the new heavens and earth without sin, as not broken people and broken workplaces. That is something really exciting. Everything the Bible addresses, all through its pages, is inspired by the lens of this grand story. In verse 58, Paul also brings to our attention another profound implication of the bodily resurrection of Jesus for your work. That is, at times our work, isn't that true, is presently broken and it seems pointless and meaningless and frustrating. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, Paul reminds us our work, your work, is not in vain. Well, the word vain here does not mean egotistical. We all know what that's like. But it conveys a sense of emptiness or futility, a kind of meaninglessness, that our work really doesn't matter at the end of the day. What is Paul doing here? Paul is echoing, actually, the Old Testament writer of Ecclesiastes. who expresses his deep longing for meaning in life. Yet somehow he senses in his life that often work, at the end of the day, seems meaningless. The writer of Ecclesiastes begins with these summary words about life and work. He declares absolute futility. Everything is futile. What does a person gain for all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? Yet the author of Ecclesiastes doesn't end his book concluding life and work are meaningless. Quite the contrary. Because of God's reality and God's story of human work, your work really does matter. Even if at times it seems toilsome and meaningless. And in a future podcast, I will explore more in greater depth about the importance of the matter of meaning in your work. A few years ago, I had the privilege of getting some time with one of the greatest sociologists in the world. His name is Dr. Peter Berger. And we had invited some young clergy to a meeting with Dr. Berger to talk with him. And one of them asked Dr. Berger whether or not he considered himself a Christian. Dr. Berger, with his strong, towering intellect and his gracious demeanor, paused for a moment. He paused to collect his thoughts, and then he gently answered, "Yes, I do. I do consider myself a Christian." Because something happened on that first Easter morning that absolutely changed the world and has changed me. Like Dr. Berger, you have embraced the good news of Easter, I trust, placing your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is the one who extends by his grace, forgiveness, and offers to you an intimate relationship with himself. Jesus, the one whose resurrection not only points you to life beyond the grave, it also validates the importance of your weekly workplace. Whatever your work, God's work story tells you it is anything but meaningless, that your work really matters. The resurrection of Jesus reminds you today, this week, that God is really with you, and he is there for you in your workplace, that he deeply cares about your work, and yes, your fellow workers. So as a follower of Jesus, let me remind you, your work is never meaningless. And let me remind you today, nor do you ever work alone. Easter changes everything, including your work. And while the bodily resurrection of Jesus validates the truth of the Christian faith, and yes, eternal life beyond the grave, it also speaks into your world right now. The today of your Monday world of work, its importance and its meaning. So here's what I'd like you to take from our conversation today. Some wisdom you can tuck into your mind and heart for your work week. I want you to grab with heart and mind your work really matters. Approach your paid or unpaid work this week with a hopeful confidence that the resurrected Lord is with you and desires to do excellent work wherever he called you. And if you would, I'd love for you to tuck the wise words of the 20th century Brit Dorothy Sayers in your mind and heart. Maybe even put them on your phone or your computer screen, or maybe, like me, I often put sticky notes places. It reminds me of important things throughout my workday. And her words are part of my life. The only Christian work is good work well done. Think about that. The only Christian work is good work well done. Your work matters, so do it well this week. I'd like to close this time with you in prayer. And as I conclude, I want to invite you, right where you are, to just silently pray with me the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to remember something important. The Lord's Prayer was not given to you to only pray on Sunday, but to be a centering prayer, a daily liturgy for you as you enter and inhabit your Monday world of work. Heavenly Father, the unimaginably good news of the bodily resurrection of Jesus does change everything, including our world of paid and unpaid work. And whatever we are facing this week in our work, the joys, yes, the successes, the failures, the disappointments, the difficulties, the stresses of our workplace, help each of us to remember that we are never alone in our work, that you, our resurrected Lord, are with us. Impress more firmly in our hearts and minds that you care deeply about our work, that you will give us empowerment and the wisdom we need to do what you've called us to do this week. Lord, grip our hearts, stretch our imaginations, stimulate our minds in fresh ways. How very much the work you've called us to do matters now and for all eternity. Jesus, our resurrected Lord, our Savior, our Master Teacher, You taught us to pray, and we now pray together with faith and expectancy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and do forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. What a joy it has been. And may you sense in unmistakable ways the Lord's favor and presence as you partner with Him in the high calling of your workplace.